Hello and welcome to episode 43 of Track. At Track, our aim is to shine a light on the UK running club scene. This week on Track, we have an interview with a Northern Ireland international athlete who has run 73.23 for the half, 32.49 for 10k, and who ran a PB of 15.49 for 5,000 metres this very afternoon indoors in Sheffield, Hannah Irwin. For a short introduction this week, I am joined by Kat Hutchison, who is 12 weeks away from her return to the marathon in Manchester in April. How are you doing, Kat?
Yeah, good, thanks.
How are you? 12 weeks away now, Kat. We just had a very quick chat before we press record. It's starting to get into that sort of time when long runs get longer, sessions get a little bit more focused for you. How's it going for you?
Yeah, so I'm kind of starting behind, which is never a great way to start. So I'm taking a relaxed approach to this marathon build up, and just I was actually planning on taking a very relaxed approach. But when I spoke to John Potts and suggested I do 12 this weekend, he said no, 16. So I've started that, and I'm really just trying to build that base and trying to kind of leave out speed work a little bit at the moment. But yeah, it's so good to be running decent miles again now.
Yeah, you realize when you haven't done it for a while how good it is just to be able to go and do 16 on a Sunday if you want to.
Yeah, and just being able to get out every day and run 10 miles, like the rest of life falls into place when you can go and run 10 miles every day. And there's, you know, I'm no longer thinking about my knee and wondering if it's going to be okay. I can just go out and it doesn't seem to matter how hard I push it now. It's okay.
So no issue at all there as far as you're aware?
No, it doesn't seem to be. It just seemed to suddenly disappear. And it just seems now I can just run again, which is, yeah, it's so good.
Perfect.
But probably not quite in time for a really good go at Manchester, but okay. I'll try a more relaxed approach, and maybe I'm trying to just maybe only go up to 70 miles a week and see how I go at that. So yeah,
so we'll see. No time goals whatsoever, or
yeah,
relaxed.
I think I go under 3.5 is I think fairly achievable. But it won't be, I probably won't go for anything other than that.
And have you done Manchester before?
No, I haven't. So I'm quite looking forward to it. I've done London a few times and apparently Manchester's faster. and obviously Alpha Flies exist now. I'm pretty confident I'll get a PB on whatever sort of training.
Sounds good. I'm also leading into Manchester, as you know. So I've had about probably 5 weeks now of just trying to up the miles a little bit. Long runs getting a little bit longer. So I did my first 20 today for a while, and some decent mileage. And then I don't know, 12 weeks seems to be the sort of switch in my head when it needs to start getting very much more marathon specific in the sessions and what have you.
Yeah.
And with a half sort of 3 weeks before, that's 9 weeks away. So it's all becoming quite real now, I suppose.
Yeah, which half are you in?
Bath is the plan. And I wasn't sure if 3 weeks before the full is a little bit close. I think lots of people will say maybe it is, but I've sort of made my peace with it might being a bit close, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And you can, at least it's a backup plan. If you run well at that, then you takes the pressure off the marathon. You've got something out of this build up.
That's exactly the plan, really. I'm trying to convince myself, I haven't done it just yet, I'm trying to convince myself that the half is the main goal, and then I'm just gonna run a marathon a few weeks afterwards. But
yeah, they always say to run a good half you have to train for a marathon, so just convince yourself that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I need to do a bit more convincing, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, it would be really good for you to go into Manchester without any pressure.
Yeah, that's the plan. So we'll see. And as we just said before, we tend to put too much pressure on these things, don't we? I mean, what really, why is there any pressure on us running a marathon? It's a hobby, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, we should just be able to turn up, and there's nothing you can do about it anyway. You turn up on the day and you run the best you can. Exactly. And that's why I'd really love to try and run one without my watch and just actually run it to feel and just that I can do whatever I can do.
Mm. Possibly do it at Manchester or not?
Yeah, it would be really good if I could. It would be, but it's I worry that I'd run too slow. But I think what I've done, you know, 10K time trials without a watch, and I actually run exactly the same time as with a watch.
Mm.
So it would probably be okay, but I'll see.
Maybe try a few long runs without a watch.
Yeah, well, I don't really look at my watch, you know, while I'm running at the moment, because I'm just trying to do the miles.
Mm.
I quite often don't, and I can pretty much tell what pace I'm running.
Mm.
I can almost always guess what pace my watch will say when I do look at it. So I probably could do it.
I suppose the trick is running, because I think I'm probably better at estimating what easy pace I'm running at. But if someone said to me, go and run marathon pace without a watch, I think I would find that harder.
Because you don't dial into it so often.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I mean, 10K, I did do a 10K time trial, and it pretty much just worked out exactly. I did PB pace, and that's, you know, and it was even splits. It wasn't anything crazy without having a watch to control me. So
yeah,
that gives me a bit more confidence it's possible.
Yeah, well, watching the fast men and women this morning at Valencia 10K, very few, if any, that I noticed of the leaders had watches or were looking at them anyway.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah. And obviously cross country is completely different, but the Euro cross country that was on a few weeks ago, I don't think I saw anyone with a watch. I know cross country isn't really time focused, but the top men and women seem to be able to do it better than amateurs, I think.
Yeah, they probably practice a lot more on that, dialing into race pace but I guess for even a 10K you are kind of racing the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably know them a little bit.
For sure, yeah. Great. Well, there were some really good, actually, just whilst we mention it, we're not going to do a sort of a normal podcast. We're going to introduce the interview in a second, Kat, but just while we mention the Valencia 10K, some good UK-British performances. Probably the standout was Emil Caress, who equaled, as far as I know, Mo Farah's road 10k PB of 27:44, and I think he's equal second on the UK all time list now. And also, sort of previous interviewees of ours, Johnny Miller, Phil Sessman, and Andrew Davis, all running really well. And on the women's side, Beth Kidger 32:53 and Steph Davis 32:58. So I think Valencia at the marathon and at the 10K and at the half, they just have a really, really good depth of field. I mean, I don't know how they tend to assemble. I think it's got a reputation now, Valencia, that it's going to be a fast race. So they get really good fields, and the depth is amazing.
Yeah, that was a quick race. And I think they say the course is really good as well, which helps to get people to turn up.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be running a quick course.
Yeah. Sure. The other thing that was happening today, which probably of interest to some of our listeners, was indoor athletics, which is starting up again. We've seen quite a few indoor meets already. And one that was happening today was in Sheffield. And this week's interviewee was racing, as I mentioned in the intro. So Hannah Irwin ran a 5,000 metre PB this afternoon in Sheffield indoors. She ran 15:49. I think she came fourth, Kat, and Amelia Quirk and Jenny Nesbitt. Sort of battling it out for first and second place there.
Yeah, it was good. I happened to turn it on just as they were about 7 minutes in, with Jenny Nesbitt leading and Amelia Quirk just kind of on her shoulder. And I was like, oh, this is good. And I saw Hannah Irwin was in the race as well. I was like, oh, this is good timing here. And yeah, watch those watched Amelia Quirk just waited until the last two laps and then just took off. She looks so strong. Really impressive run. I think she ran 15:27. Jenny was just 15:30, 32, so it's a PB for her, but it's just outside the Commonwealth standard. But for the first race of the year, I think she'll be happy to be back in PB shape, because I think her PB before that was 15:30, 90 something, so she only took a tiny bit off her PB. But after a whole year of running 15:40s and 15:45s, I think she'll be really happy with that. So hopefully the next race she'll get that Commonwealth standard.
We should also mention we should also mention Jenny Nesbitt's 3,000 meters a few weeks ago indoors. She ran 8:44, which was a huge performance from her indoors in Cardiff, I believe. So obviously in really good form, and hopefully, as you said, just a matter of time before she ticks that Commonwealth standard off.
And great to see Hannah Irwin as well. She, I think I say during the interview, she PB'd every distance last year, and the 5,000 just happened to be one that I don't think she raced at. But she's obviously in really good shape as well, and hopefully going to go on to have a pretty great year. She's aiming for that Commonwealth standard as well, obviously, and she's chipping away, getting closer. So
perfect. And what else did you talk about, Kat? Let's introduce the interview now. I know you said it was a really interesting chat and Hannah was pretty open. So what can the listeners look forward to?
Yeah, it was a really good interview. She's really a great role model for any young athlete who's getting trapped in that kind of mindset of disordered eating and things like that. She really explains, you know, the situation well, and really kind of makes it really clear that she was, you know, in that trap of disordered eating, and it didn't make her any faster. You know, she got some initial gains as you do, but ultimately it just made her unhealthy and not faster. And you see her now smashing PBs in every race as a much healthier athlete. And I think she's, you know, she talks openly about it, but also in a really good way to get the message out there. And yeah, she just really, really great on that subject, and on subjects of, you know, things like women's menstrual cycles and things like that, and how that affects running. She's really open about all of that. So yeah, really, really good interview.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone will enjoy that.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat. So as Kat said, we really hope you enjoy listening to that interview. And thanks again for tuning in to Track. We'll be back soon with a sort of a fuller podcast, as you've come to sort of expect. We'll talk through a few results and what have you. But Happy New Year. Thanks again for tuning in. Kat, good luck with the next couple of weeks of Manchester Marathon training. And yeah. We'll chat to you soon.
Tonight on Chat, we're excited to be joined by up-and-coming 5 and 10k specialist Hannah Irwin. She's had an impressive year of running, including finishing 7th at the 5000 metre Olympic trials in June. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
That's all right, thank you for having me.
No trouble. And so first of all, you raced on Sunday at Telford 10K and ran a PB, an impressive 32:49 to finish third. How was that race?
I was really pleased with it. I was excited going to the race because it was Liverpool, 2 weeks before, and I was just came away from that really disappointed. So I wanted to get a couple of weeks training in and then sort of go and show the shape that I knew I was in. I was pleased with how it went. I didn't really pace it very evenly, but I think at Telford you can't not do that. And I mean, I always do it, and I say, oh, next time I race I won't do that, I won't go out too hard, and I always do it. So
I think Telford's deceptive with the big downhill to start with. You really, it's even harder to gauge, isn't it, what pace you should set out at?
Yeah, I think you feel like you are going out hard, which obviously you are, but you think, oh, maybe it's just because I haven't got into it, I haven't got going. But you actually are usually going faster than you think. And I tried, didn't want to like, I didn't want to get carried away, but then also I didn't want to get left behind. So I just went out hard and tried to hold on.
Yeah, well, it seems to have paid off.
Thank you.
So on chat, we like to go through our interviewees' PBs just to sort of give everyone an idea of just how fast you are. And when I said in the intro that you've had an impressive year, I think by looking at your PBs, you've pretty much ran a PB in every distance you've run this year. So, I mean, that's a great year of running. So I've got the 3,000 metres, I've got down at 9:23.72 at Loughborough in May. And then 5,000 metres at 15:56.07 at the BMC in May. Let me know if I've got any of these wrong because I've taken them off power of 10. 10,000 metres, I've got 33:11.08 at the British Champs in June. And then 5K is one that you haven't run an actual 5K this year, but it was 16:19 last year. And then obviously the very recent Telford 10K, 32:49. Which only got updated on power of 10 today. I was waiting for it. And then half marathon, which is obviously a PB and the first one you've run, 73:23. So which of those are you the most proud of?
Oh, I'd probably say the 10K. I like the 10K and I feel like it was a long overdue. I sort of needed to update my PB. So I think probably that's my proudest one. I think as well, you always find the last race that went well is the one you're like most proud of. And I feel like it just, yeah, it went well and it didn't quite, sometimes you have those races that you just feel like you just flow and you feel great. And Telford wasn't one of those. I didn't like, it didn't just feel amazing the whole way. And I think that's why I'm quite proud of it. Whereas like with the 5K on the track, that race, I don't really remember much from it because I just remember that I felt really good in that race, which in reflection I get a bit annoyed. I think, oh, maybe I should have, you know, pushed a bit more. But yeah, I think probably the 10K is the one that I'm currently most proud of.
Yeah, it's a very impressive. It's great to see the progress from running Telford in the past to how much quicker you've got this year.
Yeah, I think the last time I did Telford, it was sort of like one of the first races I did sort of coming back into it. So it was nice to see like the two differences over the years.
Yeah. Is there any performance that's not necessarily a PB that you're proud of? Any race that doesn't sort of come up on that list, but something that you think was one of your best races?
I'd probably say a couple of years ago, I did the Vitality 10K. And that was like, no way. I think I ran like 35:56, something like that. And at the time, prior to that, my PB was 41 minutes. So running that race was like, I don't know, I finally felt like I was making progress and I was capable of what I thought I could show. So I think whilst it wasn't a PB, that one sort of always sticks in my head as the main one that I'm proud of.
Yeah, that's massive. Like, that's a massive leap forward, isn't it? And which one would you most like to improve on?
Currently, probably my 5K on the track. I feel like I've got more in the tank at the moment on that. But there's plenty of time, and next year, hopefully that means I'll then have a bigger PB to make. I feel like I've got a lot more to give on that one.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that. So you posted a very open and honest post on Instagram recently about your sort of struggles with disordered eating and sort of that belief that I think a lot of people hold that skinnier equals faster. And for me, it's one of the posts, you see them from time to time, but yours was very... it really hit the message home. I think it was really the way you told the story, it really actually made me believe for the first time that actually skinnier doesn't equal faster. And you know, and seeing I think the two pictures you posted next to each other, it was really clear which one would be able to run faster. And I think for anyone that hasn't read that post, could you talk us through that sort of time in your running?
Yeah, of course. So it was, I think it's sort of always something that was maybe developing. And then when I got into sick form, I had quite a lot of stress sort of going on in my life. Like friends moved schools, my mum fell ill, my best friend passed away. And I think sort of all that stress led to those habits to surface. And this was sort of coincided with the time when I saw all these like images of successful runners. And I always believed that in order for me to be faster, I did need to be thinner. And that belief alongside the stress just made me sort of play into those bad habits. So I just sort of every day try to eat less and less. And I think it's almost a, you don't realize you're doing it, because over time you just gradually reduce it and reduce it and reduce it. And you're not even aware to the damage that you are making. And I think like I had a lot of people say to me that they were worried, and like my friends would go and tell the school nurses that they were worried about how I was and like my habits and things. And at the time I just felt like everybody was sort of out to get me, because I didn't see the damage that I was doing. And I think it is then that just that all goes over the years, and you have this really short brief of period which is the most damaging when you do lose weight and you do run faster. And that's the sort of period where like myself and everybody else, you think, okay, wow, this is what I really need to do. So it's reinforcing your habits, but actually it's the complete wrong thing, because then, you know, a couple of months down the line, you end up injured, you end up with like way more serious health complications that you didn't ever realize you were gonna have to face. And I think as sad as it is, it's still such a big problem nowadays that a lot of people think is outdated, but even myself, I think I'm not aware of how prevalent it is still.
Yeah, I think so many people still hold that belief. And I think that's really important what you said, that you will get that initial probably improvement in your times and your speed, but it's just so short-lived if you go down that unhealthy route. And that's what really tricks people into carrying on down that route, is because you do see improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is sort of, whilst it's good at the time because you do improve well, that's the worst thing, because you think, oh, this is what I need to do. And then when your performance sort of goes off piste or you're not doing as well, you sort of, you don't think that that's the reason. You blame it on other things, and you know, you always try and look for a different reason, but it's not until you realize what you're doing to yourself and you realize that you want to change that you can change.
Yeah, and seeing now how you're running and how, you know, how you're running as a healthy athlete, it's a really good role model to all those people falling into that trap, to see that actually that destroyed your running then, and actually now as a healthy athlete you're running fast times, faster than you were back then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, thank you. But yeah, I think it's definitely something I could never go back there, purely because I've seen how much better I can do through being healthy. But also I think it sort of makes you reflect, because I think if I have the mind power, the mind strength to be able to do that to myself, if I used that sort of I want to say control, but not really control, like just those strong behaviors that are inside you, if you can use them in a positive way, like think what you could achieve that's positive rather than destructive to yourself.
Yeah, I think, you know, all runners need to have that kind of discipline, don't they? And that's probably, you know, it's a good characteristic you were displaying in being able to control your eating to that level, but it's
being not a good thing.
Yeah, just directing it towards healthy habits.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll jump straight on into another bit of a deep one. So you mentioned earlier about Sefton Park and your disappointment at that race. And I saw you posted about the fact it was around a few days before your period, and that how that affects your running. And I thought that's another thing you don't often hear female athletes talking about. And it's, you know, something I know for me really affects my running is you know, I'm just useless in the week before my period. And I've always wondered how professional athletes actually manage that. And, you know, that was really interesting to see that, you know, maybe they don't, maybe they are the bad racers.
Yeah, I think, and I think with both topics, it's a shame that more people don't open up about them, because you don't realise that everybody is going through the same things, and you always think, oh, it's only me that has that bad race or has that bad session. And, you know, it's only me that suffers from like symptoms from my period, but you don't actually realise that it happens to loads of people. People just don't say about it. And yeah, it's always like when once I've come on, like that period of time, it doesn't affect me at all. Like I can race and train as normal, but it's the sort of week leading up to it where I really notice the effects. I mean, some months I can be absolutely fine and not really notice it, and then other months it just comes and it like hits you, and it unfortunately like, there is nothing that I mean I don't know anything there is nothing I can do about it. Just have to sort of accept it, and it just so happened that that timing was exactly when Liverpool was. And even my boyfriend said he had worked out and he thought that, you know, that might happen. And I just tried not to think about it. But there's nothing you could do when you're in that situation and your legs do just like you're giving everything, but your legs aren't having any of it. So yeah, there's nothing you can really do.
No, it's such a nuisance, because you can't schedule, you know, you can choose which races to enter, but you can't schedule the trials and things like that. You have to be ready on that day, and that's really, really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, a lot of people said it to me afterwards as well, and I think it is so true that whilst it was such a pain, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't like not have them, because I've again had that period of my life where I didn't, and I've seen the damage that can cause. So whilst it was very irritating and frustrating, like I am grateful that I am a healthy athlete.
Yeah, it's good to be having those cycles and know that it's natural, however annoying it is.
Yeah.
So what does a normal training week look like for you at the moment?
So I mean, this week is really absolutely nothing. I haven't run since Monday because I've got an easy week before we start building up again. That's also why I decided to have my vaccine booster, because I thought, right, if I can't train properly this week, it doesn't really matter. But outside of that, in a normal training week, I do sessions on Tuesdays and Fridays. I do a long run on a Sunday, and then Monday I usually have like a progression or a steady run, and then the other days tend to be easy. Saturday is usually either a rest day or just cross training, and I do a lot of cross training like outside of my running as well, so my mileage is quite low and mostly made up with cross training.
Yeah, so what sort of cross training do you do? Do you do cycling or
I just use the elliptical cross trainer, whatever you want to call it. I hate cycling, but you won't get me on a bike ever.
Yeah, me too.
No, I find it so hard. Like I'd rather run up a hill, or I don't know, I'd rather do anything. Like when I had my injury before, I used to aqua jog for hours, and people were like, why would you do that when you can cycle? And I thought, I would rather aqua jog and, you know, have to just be in my own world for an hour rather than sit on a bike.
Yeah, definitely. I feel exactly the same. I've been injured recently and everyone says, oh, do some cycling. And it's just like, I just can't. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get a sore bum while I'm
exercising. No, and you get it within 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I need to get off.
Yeah. So do you do any sort of strength and conditioning work as well?
Yep. I try and do sort of S&C work about 3 times a week. I don't know if it's quite rare for an athlete, but I love doing core. Like next second to running, core is my favorite thing to do. So yeah, I love doing it. I do try and do 3 times a week. I know a lot of people do it on their hard session days, but I've always done it on my easier days. And I don't know, maybe something that changes in the future, but for now I feel like that works for me.
Yeah. And do you have like specific areas you work on that are your weaknesses, or do you just have a kind of general routine that you work through?
I have a sort of general routine, but it changes depending on sort of what I notice is feeling weaker. And if I go and see the physio and they're sort of saying, oh, I don't know, I've got a discomfort in my knee, and they say, oh, you need to strengthen your glutes more, then I might direct my focus to be a bit more targeted at my glutes. But yeah, otherwise I just have sort of a more general routine, and then I just adapt it depending on how my body's feeling.
Yeah, so I see a lot of athletes at the moment are hitting the gym and lifting heavy weights. Do you do weights and things as part of yours?
I do like body weight, and I use sort of kettlebells and dumbbells. So rather than using like, I don't know, big machines, I use more like smaller weights. I had a bit of a bad experience with an S&C coach in the past in the gym. And I think ever since that, I've been a bit apprehensive about it. And again, it might be something that I do go to in the future, but I spoke to somebody who is an S&C coach about like looking to change it. And they just said to me, don't look to incorporate the weights until you feel like you need to. They just said, if it's working for you at the moment, stick with it. So that's what I've done.
So you started running quite young. How did you get into running?
Yeah, so I started when I was about six, and it started because I had this running teacher at school, and she just loved to run, and I sort of would see her, she'd run a lunchtime club, and I'd see her go to it, and she was just always so happy. And I thought, you know what, I really want to give that a go. I think I would enjoy it. And you weren't allowed to join until you were in, I think it was year three. But I just like badgered them, and they let me join when I was in year two. And I went along, and yeah, I just loved it. And I sort of found that I was quite good at it, because I mean, at school you can run and you don't have to train. You're just naturally, you turn up and you're good. So she was like the coach that got me into it. And yeah, I just thought, how happy she seemed, I wanted to experience that too.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's really nice that someone that early inspired you.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's your, have you got any target races coming up, or is it just for the winter?
So at the moment, just probably train for a couple of weeks. I might be going on away on a training camp at the beginning of January, but I think it's all sort of COVID dependent what happens there. And then I'm going to do the cross challenge, that's like the international, at the end of January, because I run for Northern Ireland, so I've been selected to run for them at that race. And then I don't really know plans for after that. I'll probably have a discussion with my coach, and he'll say what he thinks is a good idea, and yeah, we'll chat about it.
Yeah, so you're gonna plan your big goals for 2022 after that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got our sort of, I think to try and get the Commonwealth Games standard will be the main focus, and up until that we'll just work on sort of getting stronger and building that base.
Yeah, so what's the Commonwealth Games standard for the 5 and 10?
So it's for Northern Ireland it's 15:39 for the 5k and 32:37 for the 10.
Oh, so you're very close to both of those.
Yeah, getting closer. So I feel like, especially with the 5k, I felt like I was closer than I showed over the summer. But I think having Telford on the weekend was quite a nice boost to know that, you know, it's not actually unrealistic. Like I could get the time. So yeah, just work towards that really.
Yeah, exciting. That could be a big 2022 if you get those standards.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've got some quick fire questions for you. If you could go for a run with any athlete, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, probably a bit mainstream, but it probably would have to be Paula Radcliffe.
She's a popular choice.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody says that.
I think I would too. Which is your favourite out of track, road and cross country?
Oh, that's really tricky. I don't know. I like them all, really.
You actually do run them all, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. I would have always said track was my least, but then I've really enjoyed the track this year and it's up there. Yeah, I can't pick all of them.
All right, we'll try an easier one. Favourite shoes?
For everyday running, it would have to be the Mizuno Wave Rider. I've never, since I started running, I've never run in a different shoe to that.
Ah, that's good. And do you have any pre-race songs, any sort of go-to song to get you ready for a race or a big session?
Not really. I'm not really like, I try and, you know, not get too serious before a race, because I used to get really superstitious in the past, and really, really nervous. So I just try and keep it sort of as relaxed as possible. When I'm driving to a session, I usually blare out a bit of Taylor Swift or Ed Sheeran. and that sort of gets me in the mood. I love to have a sing, so whatever gets me singing.
Sounds good. Do you have a favourite race? Like, not a distance, but an actual race that you love to do?
For cross country, I'd definitely say the Milton Keynes Cross Challenge. I love that race. I like the really short, sharp hills. I actually wish there was more hills in there than there is. And then on the road, I'd probably say the Vitality 10K, just because it's sort of where I feel I began to progress.
So I was about to wrap up, but I just remembered I forgot to ask you about the big half, your first half marathon. How was that? Did you train specifically for that?
No, so it was actually came as a bit of a shock. So towards the end, I think I had a 5K on the track, and I said to my coach, like, I'm not really a short, fast. I prefer, like, tempos are my favourite sessions. I love anything long and to hold. And I messaged him and I said, I'm going to be really bold here, but I think I'd like to do a 1500. And he just replied to me like, I'm going to be really bold too. I'd like you to do a half marathon. And I was a bit like, I mean, it did take a lot of persuading. And for a couple of weeks, I was really like, I don't think that's a good idea, because I hadn't trained for it at all. And yeah, I was just nervous because I felt in my head that if I do the half marathon, that was me stepping towards the marathon. And whilst I love to do the marathon in the future, like right now, that's not what I want to do. And then he was eventually like, you know, you've asked all your questions, but I think you should put all your trust in me. So I just said, okay, I'll do it. And actually, I'd probably say it was the race this year that I enjoyed the most. I went through 10K and I just like, I ran past my boyfriend. He was like spectating. And I just laughed at him. I was like, oh my God, I love this. I feel great. And he was just like, you're nuts, why are you laughing? And like, don't get me wrong, the last couple of miles they did hurt, but I really enjoyed it. And I think because I'd not done anything like that before, there was no pressure. Like, I didn't have a time that I was going for, and the big half is a good race, but it's not like a massively fast one. So I thought, I'm just gonna run and see what happens, and yeah, I loved it.
It's so impressive to run 73 minutes on your first one. It is such a different pain, isn't it, to 5 and 10K?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I liked that pain because I was like, I don't know, it's one that your set legs sort of just like lock into the pace and it hurts, but you can keep like ticking over the kilometres. And I work in kilometres rather than miles, so the mile markers did confuse me and I genuinely had no idea like what time I was going to run, because I did wear my watch but I don't ever look at it. And then I think I got to like the last mile and I thought, okay, because my maths again is awful, I was like, I'm going to try and get under 73 minutes. And I think that was probably a bigger ask than I thought in the last mile. So maybe it didn't work out like that, but yeah, I just loved it and didn't really have any expectations.
Yeah, so do you think you'll try that again in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd love to do another one again next year. I think my coach quite liked sort of, it was my last race of the season. So I raced that and then I just had like a week off and then a week of really like low intensity and volume to come back. But yeah, it's quite nice as well. I like that feeling when you know you've finished your season and your legs are really knackered. Like, I really felt like I needed it, rather than sometimes my coach will be like, oh, you've got an easy week, and I'm like, oh, but I feel fine.
Yeah, after a half marathon, you really felt like your legs needed that rest.
Yeah, definitely. They were very uncomfortable going down the stairs the next morning.
Oh, that's great. It'll be exciting to see you run some longer stuff in the future too.
Yeah, no, I look forward to it. I mean, I just found it crazy when I'd see sort of the longer distance girls who were training for the marathon, like Charlotte Perdue and Samantha Harrison, and the next day they were like, oh, going out for a 16 mile run, and I was like, what? I cannot do that right now.
Yeah, it's completely different, isn't it? They're just so used to the half is short for them.
Yeah, I know, whereas to me I was like, this is so far.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's been really great to hear everything, and I really look forward to seeing how you get on in 2022, see if you have another year of a PB in every distance.
Fingers crossed. Thank you. I'll try my best.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for talking to us.
That's all right, thank you for having me.
Thanks.